It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Milwaukee County advances allocating about $1.6 million in federal ARPA funding to a New York charity. It's part of a plan to purchase and erase an estimated $153 million in medical debt held by tens of thousands of county residents in financial need. We look at the future of debt forgiveness and the mission of this work. Call in about medical debt collections. Your questions and stories, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Allison Sesso is president and CEO of RIP Medical Debt, which buys and then eliminates medical debt for people facing financial hardship. Allison, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're a nonprofit. It partners with communities nationwide to eliminate medical debt for their residents, like you're in Cook County, Illinois, and Toledo, Ohio, New Orleans. Can you take us inside this proposed partnership between RIP Medical Debt and Milwaukee County?
Absolutely. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about our work. It's unfortunate that we have to do this work. I'll start with that, because medical debt is clearly a pervasive problem in the United States, to the tune of there being at least $195 billion of debt, medical debt in the United States. So it is really a systemic problem. What we do is we work with communities by combining both dollars that are given by the local government. And traditionally, this is kind of new for us to be working with governments. Traditionally, we've been using donated dollars, and that could be very wealthy people or, you know, people who are giving $10, $20, $50. And I mean, what's wonderful about our model is it really helps anyone be a philanthropist. And we take those dollars, we combine them together, and we purchase debt either from the secondary market or directly from providers, hospitals, other physician groups. And when we get our hands on that debt, we relieve that debt en masse for thousands of people that are in that file that qualify for our program. And that is people who are 400% of poverty level and below, and people whose debt itself is 5% or more of their overall income. And those people are then free and clear of that debt, and that has real great implications for their financial, mental, and physical well-being.
Can you explain how this process is unfolding in Milwaukee County?
Absolutely. So there's actually been some interest across the state in our work. Basically, they reached out to us and sort of, you know, I think they paid attention. You mentioned that they were working in these other places like New Orleans and where it started in Cook County and Toledo. And so the word's been getting out that local governments have been trying to leverage our model for their communities. So they reached out to us and said, you know, can we do this? Is this, you know, got information about our program and how it works, understood that the return on investment is significant, meaning $1 relieves as much as $100 of medical debt because of the way the for-profit debt market works and the fact that we are mimicking that. So we're able to really leverage local dollars. And in this case, it's ARPA dollars or federal dollars that were given to the local government. And so they're allocating these funds for us to, we get into a contract with the local government. And then what we'll do is we will start talking and we already have started doing this, start talking to the local hospitals and other healthcare providers in the region and get them to engage with us and then sell the debt to us. And we'll put the dollars to, you know, towards that and then start sending out letters to local residents. It's really not that complicated.
How do you negotiate, like, an extremely discounted rate for the debt?
Yeah, so this is a function of the market. So essentially, in the for-profit debt buying world, so the audience understands, there is a for-profit debt buying world. These are our hospitals will sell their debt portfolios. And I want to be clear, not all hospitals will sell their debt portfolios, but 25 to 30% will. And so they sell their basically the debts that people owe them in bulk to for-profit debt buyers. Those for-profit debt buyers, once they have and own those debts of those individuals, can do whatever they want to try to collect on them. You know, they can garnish wages, they can, you know, take them to courts, they can seize assets like your homes or cars. They can just, you know, be really annoying, like and incessantly call them and threaten them. And they take different tactics to try to make back the money that they spent. Because of the fact that a lot of the people who don't pay their debts are people who can't pay their debts. They're people that are poor or are close to poverty. They're not able to pay those debts. It's very hard for the debt buyer that bought that portfolio to make their money back. And so they have to, in order to make sure that they're going to basically make their money back, they need to make sure that they pay a really low price initially for the debt. And so that really pushes down the price of the debt that the hospital is willing to sell. So let's just theoretically say that the portfolio of debt could be worth face value what the individuals owe is like $300, you know, million dollars in debt. The debt buyer might buy that entire portfolio for only $1 million because they have to make sure that they're able to harass people, seize assets, do all of those tactics in order to get back at least $1 million plus to make their money back.
So they're making a kind of a bet. There is a risk.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so we are leveraging that market that's established because of that, except we're not trying to make any money back because we're a nonprofit and we're doing this for a mission purpose. And so we just leverage that pricing and then we are able to, you know, basically compete and make a deal with the hospital ourselves and relieve the debt.
Why do you think that local governments should have skin in the game, should be contributing some of these dollars, or why is it necessary to have that local buy-in?
Yeah, you know, I think local governments across the country typically do invest in social interventions, right? I think that there is a recognition that government plays a role. And to be honest, depends on locally the difference. Like in certain places, it's more robust, the social interventions, in other places, less so. But to an extent, every local government is somehow engaged in lifting up those in the community and oftentimes pays for social interventions or supports them. It could be, you know, a workforce development program or, you know, it could be a senior center. You know, these are social interventions that help families, helping support childcare services, things like that. So I see this among that sort of suite of services, if you will, that government is engaging in to help people economically and socially within their communities to make sure people are better off and living healthier, more robust lives.
And it's interesting, too, because some governments feel this is out of their lane. Wauwatosa, just down the road, their city council voted against this partnership between your organization, RIP Medical Debt, and you know, Wauwatosa, this Milwaukee suburb. And the Journal Sentinel was reporting that some elders said it was outside the lane of the council to fund nonprofits. What is your take on that?
Like I said, I think that's a local debate. You know, I think this is happening across the country and it's nothing new. Some local governments feel it is their responsibility to take care of the social needs of individuals and have very robust programs that they contract with nonprofits or directly provide services to people in the community. And others are a little bit more hands-off and don't have that same philosophy. So honestly, I think this is a philosophical question that each local government sort of grapples with. And again, it's, you know, it's the process. Who are the people that you elect, and what is the philosophy that they support, that you support getting them into office and representing you?
Talking about eliminating medical debt for people in Wisconsin, Allison Sesso is president and CEO of RIP Medical Debt. You can join in 800-642-1234. Allison, a bit more specifics before we move on. How quickly, if everything's approved, how quickly could Milwaukee County residents conceivably see relief? How long does this process take to get to that finish for someone who is, you know, way over their head in medical debt?
Yeah, so I would say it depends. I mean, really, what I have to do is I have to navigate a couple of bureaucracies, which, as you can imagine, can take a little bit of time. What that means is that I have to get both into, like, even if the county puts money forward, I have to then get into officially a contract with them in order for them to give me the money, right? So that's important. That's just normal course of business. And then I also have to make sure that the hospitals are engaged with us and are in contract with us and able to sell the debt. Though those things can happen quickly, But I also recognize and caution that they can also take time depending on what other priorities and resources how resources are being expended at those different institutions. But I would say within 6 months, we should be able to see some initial movement, but it could be a little bit longer.
Let's bring in a caller, Christine in Eau Claire, with a question. Christine, hi.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on the show. I definitely appreciate what this foundation or nonprofit is trying to accomplish. However, it seems to me that if the hospital or the medical community is willing to discount the medical debt to sell it to a for-profit collector, why don't they just discount it for the initially and then not have to deal with all of this?
Christine,
really obviously,
that's a great question. Allison, why is that the case?
Yeah, so it's a really good question. And I think, again, looking at our system overall, it's one we should be asking. I think we should be, you know, sort of asking lots of questions about how we finance healthcare and how the system works overall. The reality is hospitals do have financial assistance policies in place. These are also known as charity care, and they do provide a fair amount of what's called uncompensated care. I also think, and so they do have these policies, depending on the hospital, how easy it is to get to it, to find it on their website, to know about it, depends. Hospitals have a lot of latitude in who they want to give the discounts to, or who they want to give the free care to, and how they want to actually approach the application process itself. So I'm a big proponent of there being robust, clear, and accessible financial assistance policies in place so that there is less for us to do to that point. At the same time, I do think that fundamentally, a lot of hospitals also feel that some of the better actors, I would say, feel that once they stop collecting on a debt, that they are, you know, that there's no harm done to the patient. What they don't understand is that if they've collect, which they have, if they've tried to collect on that debt at all at any point, that individual will still feel an obligation to that hospital. So unless they tell affirmatively that individual, we stopped collecting, you know, we wrote it off to bad debt, which they don't do as a normal course of business, that individual will feel that they still owe the debt. They will not go to that hospital, which undermines their, you know, access to care. And they feel a serious mental health strain on them. People feel overwhelmed by the fact that they owe debt. And I think that that reality is often lost on the folks at the hospital. And so we're trying to open up that conversation a little bit more through our work and get them to have a deeper understanding. And to your point, I really think that hospitals can be rethinking and reexamining their financial assistance policies and their communication with patients when they do stop deciding not to collect on debts.
When you're working in these communities around the country, is it difficult to convince hospitals to sell debt to you rather than a for-profit collection agency?
I don't find that particularly difficult. What I find more difficult is getting hospitals that don't normally sell their debt to for-profit debt agencies to sell it to anybody, because they often have policies, to their credit, that they won't sell their debt, right? Because they don't trust, you know, once it's out of their hands, they don't trust what kind of actions are going to be taken against their former patients or current patients. And so hospitals, a fair amount of them, it's at least 70 to 75% won't sell their debt at all. So my bigger problem is telling hospitals that don't normally sell their debt to anyone that it's safe and okay to sell it to us, that we will absolutely not collect on it. And we will absolutely let people know that they are free and clear of the debt.
CEO of RIP Medical Debt, Allison Sesso, leading this nonprofit that has acquired and eliminated more than $8 billion in medical debt over nearly a decade, now seeking to partner with Milwaukee County. Call in with your questions about medical debt collections, debt forgiveness, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A plan is moving ahead that could erase medical debt for up to 67,000 Milwaukee County residents in financial need who are mired in this form of debt. The county's ARPA task force approved the funding request a week ago. And we have Allison Sesso, who leads the national nonprofit RIP Medical Debt, which buys medical debt at a discounted rate and then eliminates that debt for people in need. Let's take another call. Nancy in Milwaukee. Nancy, what's on your mind?
Good morning to you. My feeling about this is that none of this need to occur in the first place if our politicians made good decisions about offering health insurance to every single person in America. This indebtedness occurred, I'm sure, because people were too sick. They were very sick, but they didn't have the money to go to a doctor, and so they stayed home until their symptoms worsened to the point where they had to go to the hospital. All that could have been avoided had they had health insurance to begin with. And the fact that if they have symptoms, they'll go to an emergency room, which always costs more than a simple doctor visit. So if our politicians made better decisions about the involvement of every single person having health insurance,
I want to stop you there because I want to, you know, field that to Allison. Are people who are mired in this type of debt, would health insurance be the difference?
You know, I wish that was the answer. That's what Obamacare tried to accomplish and actually did accomplish. 92% of the population actually has health insurance in 2022. The problem is that the health insurance does not meet their actual financial needs. And so what I mean by that is that they are underinsured, and that's the new problem of medical debt. People have insurance, but they don't have enough insurance. They have very high deductibles that don't meet the amount of money they can pay. So if you're living paycheck to paycheck and you have a $1,000 deductible, well, guess what? You're not going to be able to pay that $1,000 deductible. And so that's the medical debt that you're going to be in, $1,000. Sometimes those medical debts those deductibles are even higher. Certain individuals, how you lower your premium, how much you pay for health insurance out of pocket, depends on how how much you agree to pay in terms of a deductible. So the less you pay every month to have health insurance, the higher your deductible. So you end up needing care, you can't pay that amount that you're on the hook for. And that is the risk that we're expecting more and more Americans to deal with. And that's what's undermining people's ability to make ends meet. So this is really an issue of underinsurance. There was actually a new statistic out this last year by Kaiser Health, who does a lot of research around these issues of health and medical debt. And they said that the number one cause today of medical or predictor of medical debt, of whether or not you're in medical debt, is whether or not you get sick, not whether or not you have insurance. So that is the scary reality that we are facing today.
How about this nuance? Sarah in Libertyville, Illinois, called in to ask if people whose debt is being written off, are they people who don't own assets or have low income, so the system is unlikely to collect what is owed otherwise?
A lot of these people aren't going to get most of this money. People are never going to pay this. I mean, that is the reality. So most of the individuals will never pay the debts that they owe. And so this hospitals actually understand that. And what they ultimately end up doing, they have what's called they refer to them as a payer mix. So a payer mix means people who have good insurance that have money that are part of their hospital and people who don't. And what ends up happening is cost shifting, essentially. So the people who do have good insurance end up having to pay, their insurance companies, but they pay more. But that puts pressure on those who have good insurance, and those insurance rates are likely to go up over time. So this is really a snowballing problem because of the cost shifts and the fact that more and more the expectation of what people pay out of pocket doesn't match their financial reality.
Allison Sesso, President and CEO of RIP Medical Debt, as we look at the state of debt forgiveness here in Wisconsin. Allison, you know, there is talk about your organization, working with entire states on medical debt on a statewide level. in, you know, Wisconsin here, we have a budget, a big budget surplus. A neighboring state like Minnesota does as well. So what does that mean if a state would decide to scale up in a big way and do it on a statewide level? What would you see in terms of the outcomes?
I mean, I think it would be pretty incredible to get rid of all of the medical debt across, you know, that we can get our hands on. It will require cooperation, though. The important part of this is government can want to do this all they want, but at the end of the day, we absolutely need the providers to come to the table and agree to sell the medical debt. And that's an important element of this. So provided that we can get the hospitals engaged, get the other healthcare providers engaged, we could do massive debt relief. However, I do want to caution that that is not that's going to be really helpful to people today. But long term, we do need bigger solutions. And my hope and my expectation is that if we're doing this work and we're paying attention, we actually have an anthropologist on our team whose job it is to talk to those whose debt we relieve, to help lift up their stories, to tell the story of medical debt and what it means for individuals, so that we can put bigger pressure on those politicians to make bigger changes to that actually address some of this fundamentally and more holistically. I think, for example, the earlier caller talked about insurance. I do think that while a lot of people are insured, we can provide greater subsidies to individuals so that they have better insurance and go into the hospital with more coverage and don't have those high deductibles. So there's lots we could do to prevent people from having extraordinary collections actions. Those are things like garnishing your wages, taking your assets. We can make those things illegal. So there are steps that I think politicians can take. And I'd love to do this work in mass and clean up the mess of past policy, but I would really like to make sure that at the same time, we're looking forward and trying to make sure that I don't have to keep doing this work in perpetuity.
Allison, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Allison Sesso is president and CEO of RIP Medical Debt. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.